Thanks again for being here this morning. March is Missions Month at Harvest Church, and today we're going to be talking about world missions, and we have a great couple with us today that I've known for many years. First time with us here at Harvest Church, though, David and Candy Wigington. And Candy is the National Ministry Lead for One Child, a ministry that helps to reach over 40,000 children in 14 different nations, especially third world nations. She's joined by her husband, Dave, and they form a power team that's touching the world. I'm telling you what, I had the opportunity to be in Honduras a year ago, and when I was in Honduras, I saw One Child Ministries up front, and just I couldn't believe how many young children they're reaching with the gospel of Christ, and instead of them just surviving, now they're thriving. Candy will tell you more about it, but I want to ask you this morning to please give a great Harvest Church welcome to our new friends, David and Candy Wigington. Would you do that right now? God bless you, David.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. What an honor to be here and worship the only worthy one with you folks today. Amen? The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. We're so grateful, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here and present the ministry of One Child to the precious folks here at the wonderful Harvest Church. Amen. Awesome. I love it. I just want to share a word of encouragement by way of a testimony before I get into setting the stage for the missions challenge today. When I was just age 16, I was working in a commercial meat market in a grocery store, and they had removed the guard off of the machine, and I found my right hand and arm entangled in the meat grinder. And you can imagine they began to call for help. They called the ambulance service from the wrong side of town, so it was about 20 minutes before they got there. And when the ambulance attendant came in, he was quite surprised, because with the condition of my hand and arm, with a ring finger to the first knuckle lying on the floor, he thought I would be bled to death, but I hadn't bled one drop of blood. My life was supernaturally spared by the presence of Jesus Christ, so I could come today and tell you that He is the source of all of our hope and all of our life. He's a miracle-working God. Fast forward to 2012, and I injured my good shoulder, my left shoulder. It was dislocated. It was down here. It was such a severe dislocation that it caused the severing of the axillary nerve, the doctor said. We went to 5 specialists, and they all told us the same thing. Without a firing nerve, there is not anything that can be done for Dave. I only had use of this arm from the elbow down. I couldn't reach out. I couldn't reach out and pick up a glass of water. I couldn't comb my hair. To shave, I had to put my elbow on my stump to get high enough to be able to shave. Candy was literally having to do everything for me. The last doctor they sent us to was a salvage doctor. I didn't know there was such a thing, but I have the reference. I was referred to salvage doctor in his name. And salvage doctors try to make the best out of unrepairable situations. And his recommendation that day was, he said he would fuse my shoulder to my rib cage. He'd do it so I could reach my pocket and my mouth. Now, that was the only thing I could do at that time, but I didn't want the prospects of that being the only thing I could do for the rest of my life. And so we were discussing with him, and we decided we would make the appointment several weeks down the road, because Candy and I wanted to give God time to intervene. And when we were getting ready to leave the office, Candy said to the doctor, "Doctor, we have literally thousands of people all around the world praying for a healing, a miracle in Dave's shoulder." And he said, "Well, Candy, I'll tell you like I tell all my patients, I'm a man of science, and I deal in the facts. The fact is, without a firing nerve, there's not anything that can be done. As catastrophic as it is, you and Dave need to go home and learn how to live with this." That was a pretty hopeless day and a very discouraging prognosis. So when I came back for the appointment with the doctor, they had done some testing the day before, and I met him in his office. I was standing there when he came through the door with his papers in hand. And he said, "Dave, how are you doing?" And I said, "Doc, I'm doing great." He looked back down at the papers and he said, "Well, this still shows that that shoulder's paralytic." He had his facts. And he began to examine me and measure my range of motion and all those things. And after a while, he said, "Dave, do you think you're better?" I said, "Doc, I couldn't move my shoulder at all. I couldn't raise my hand at all. Now I can do this." And he says, "Well, I do too. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to set an appointment for 3 months, and I want you to go and continue doing what you're doing, and we'll check you out then and see how you're doing." And I said, "Okay, Doc, we'll keep praying, and I'll keep doing the exercises." You see, I came by today to remind you folks that the facts that Satan spews around you are no match for the truth of God's Word. The world deals in the facts, but I deal in the truth. And the truth is, God still answers prayer. The truth is, with God, all things are possible. The truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I deal in the truth. And the truth is, Jesus is the source of your hope. Jesus is the source of your help. In this time of fear and trepidation and panic, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other grounds sinking sand. Thank you, Jesus. Take hope today, receive hope, and give hope. Now I'd like to set the stage for the challenge that Candy's going to bring to us. In the end of the 20th century, there was a story that was written and became very popular in Christian circles. It was the story of the star thrower. It goes like this. A man was walking along the beach one day, and he saw a little boy throwing something in the water. He walked up to the little boy, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" And the boy said, "Hey, mister, I'm throwing these stranded starfish into the ocean because the surf is up and the tide is out, and if I don't throw them in, they're going to die." And the man said, "Why, son, don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and thousands of starfish, and you can't possibly make a difference?" And the little boy listened politely, but he bent down and he picked up one more and he threw it back into the ocean and said, "Made a difference for that one." And that's a sweet story about how we can make a difference one person at a time. It's strong on individual action, resulting in individual rescue. But had the story been written for 21st century believers like us, it might go something like this. A man was walking along the beach one day, and he saw a girl taking a picture of starfish with her cell phone. Approaching the girl, he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Uploading pictures of these stranded starfish to my Facebook page and asking friends to tweet the call to action. The surf is up. The tide is going out. If I can get enough friends here, we can get all these starfish back into the water before sunset." "Young lady," said the old man, "what's tweet?" She just rolled her eyes, and she bent down, and she picked up another starfish and threw it into the ocean and said, "Mister, if you want to help, this is the way it's done." You see, the difference between the girl and the man was very great because it's what they expected. She expected to save the starfish. He didn't expect that they could be saved. He didn't think they could be rescued. He thought they were going to die. He thought the problem was too big. He thought it was just hopeless for the starfish. But the girl was not held hostage with such low expectations. She expected they could be saved, and that made all the difference. She expected every starfish could be rescued, and he thought it was impossible. But she didn't just expect them to live. That'd be wishful thinking. She had a plan of action. She instead realized she could do something. She made a plan and she put the plan into action. And that's what hope is all about. Hope is the action-driving fuel that turns vision into reality. It's also true that just as faith without works is dead, so compassion without action is dead. This service today is about getting a bunch of friends together, not to rescue starfish, but to rescue as many precious children as we can from La Ceiba, Honduras. It's about giving hope. Hope that allows expectations and dreams to become reality. Hope that is their passport to a brighter and more fulfilling future. And by the way, it's the same hope that's your passport and my passport to a better future. These kids, however, are born in a generational poverty curse. They did not create it. They did not choose it. But they were born into generational poverty. They inherited it. But unless we intervene today, some of them will pass it on to their children and the generations to come. You see, what Candy and I are doing here today isn't our idea. It's God's plan. It's God's idea. Psalm 82, 3 and 4 puts it this way very clearly. We are here to defend the defenseless, to make sure the underdogs get a chance. Our job is to stand up for the powerless, rescue the weak and needy, and deliver them from the hand of the enemy. Can you say amen? Amen. In fact, did you realize that the church is the only organization that exists for those who are not yet a part of it? Hear that. The church exists for those who are not yet a part of it. That's why Jesus says, go into all the world, to every creature. There are kids on the streets of La Ceiba that Jesus wants in his church. My prayer for these children and each of you here today is found in Romans 15, verse 13 in the Message Bible. May the God of hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Amen. Let your life brim over with hope today, and let that be true for these children as well. Now I want you to watch this little short video, and then Candy's going to come and tell us how we can take hope to the hard pace of La Ceiba.
Thank you. We believe, I believe, every child deserves a chance. These kids, many of them live in unbelievable situations, but I believe they deserve a chance. That's why one child is now in 14 third world countries ministering to over 40,000 children. Thank you, Harvest family, for coming alongside of us today and partnering with us in La Ceiba, Honduras, one of the most difficult places in Honduras. I want to read to you what the country director, Tony, sent to us, the Honduran country director. Children, boys and girls, are at very high risk of being recruited into gangs in La Ceiba. Gangs recruit kids because it's easier to work with them because the law isn't as harsh on the children. Gangs offer a sense of belonging and family where traditional family unit doesn't offer the security, and over 75% of the kids in the Hope Centers are from broken homes. Girls are recruited into gangs to be spies, running drugs, and for sex. The drug cartel is a real issue in La Ceiba, and they utilize gangs as distributors. In fact, Tony says, there are many places in Honduras that we would only take American teams in the morning and early afternoon while the gang is sleeping, because any time later would just be too dangerous. But these precious kids, we can't be in there late hours. But think about it, these precious kids live there 24/7 with little to no hope of escaping it. This next part that he wrote to me, I just want to say that it is not intended to be in any way political. It is just truth, and I think it's important that we hear this. Plenty of these kids are at risk of being in a migration caravan coming to the States. It's not that these people don't love their country. It's that they live in constant fear with no chance of ever being able to change their circumstances. They'd risk traveling thousands of dangerous miles to try to illegally enter the U.S. because a jail cell on the border is safer than the communities that they live in. Many families in La Ceiba live on $2 per day for the entire family, and this is what makes involvement in drugs and gangs be so tempting. I want you to look at some of the houses and homes that these precious kids are living in. Many of them have dirt floors. Many have absolutely no plumbing. In fact, most of them have no plumbing. That's a kitchen right there. No electricity. And possibly just one line of electricity with one light bulb there in the middle of the home. You see that has a dirt floor there. There's one sofa sitting in the living room. This type of poverty has a voice, and it speaks loudly to these kids. And it says, no one cares, nothing can change, and you don't matter. We come alongside of them, and that changes to someone cares, things will change, and I matter. I matter. I want to share with you Jamie's story. I met Jamie in actually Tegucigalpa a few years ago, and Jamie is 12 in the picture, but at 9 years of age, our Assemblies of God pastor working with us in that area looked out his window and saw Jamie on the street selling drugs. He set one of the lady staff members down to meet her, and over time, and it did take time to get her out of the gang, but we were able to get her out of the gang. Jamie was not only a gang member, but she had been involved in armed robbery with the gang, selling drugs, of course, and sexually abused at 9 years old. Jamie, we were able to get her into our ministry, and she's a part of the Hope Center in that church. And Jamie, one Sunday morning, brought her dad to church. Jamie's mom abandoned her when she was a baby, so she doesn't even know her mom. Lives with her dad. They came to church one Sunday morning. And when the pastor gave an invitation for people to come and give their hearts to Jesus, Jamie and her dad walked down the aisle, gave their heart to Jesus on an altar there in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. They continue to serve Jesus together, and Jamie is still a part of our ministry there. I want to tell you about Casta. Casta is actually from La Ceiba. Casta's parents were alcoholics. They divorced when Casta was a very young child. Casta was not in school. They didn't have money to pay for a school uniform or for her supplies, and you have to have a uniform there. But our child champions, and that's what we call them, the people who actually work with the children in our centers, we call them their child champions. They went through the community and knocked on doors, began to minister to people, and they met Casta and her mom. And her mom says, "Can Casta be a part?" We got Casta's sponsor. She became a part of our ministry there. And Casta, now you can see as a teenager, Casta graduated from high school last November. Unfortunately, neither her mom nor dad attended her high school graduation. But her child champions that have worked with her through the years were all there, rooting for her and cheering her on. Just this last weekend, she graduated from the One Child Ministry in Honduras, and I'm going to share more with you on that later. Casta says she wants to be a lawyer, and her grades have been so great. They tell us there in Honduras they think Casta can do it. You talk about from trash to treasure, right there, you're looking at it. I've traveled the world for One Child for 15 years, and I've seen more poverty than most of us could ever imagine. I've come to one conclusion. The greatest thing that we bring to these children is not social development or a place to play. It's not food and nutrition. It's not medical attention that we give them. It's not education or tutoring. It's not even vocational training, which is important so that they can have a job once they graduate. The greatest thing, in fact, all those things I just show you are things that we do for our kids. But the greatest thing that we bring to these kids is what we've talked about throughout this service, hope. Hope. Do you know hope has a name? What's hope's name? Jesus. And even though we bring all of those physical things to them, I still believe the greatest thing we bring to them is spiritual things, and that's Jesus. Teaching them, Jesus loves them, and Jesus will make a way. That's the greatest thing we bring to them. I've included just a couple of fun pics here. I wanted you to see these because I want you to understand that we want these kids to be kids. We want them to have a safe place to play. We want them to have fun. And this is a picture we captured after one of the Christmas parties. Now, do they look pretty excited over that Christmas present they just got at the party? And of course, you can't have a Christmas party without a nativity, right? So in all of our countries, our kids put together a little nativity and do a little drama, and they learn the Christmas story again. I just thought those were pretty cool. I want to share with you three more photos. This just happened last weekend. This is our graduation from One Child in Honduras. These kids not only graduated from high school, but then they graduate from our ministry. Pretty cool, don't you think? When I watched this on WhatsApp last Friday, I actually wept. When I look at this group of children, teenagers, 128 kids, graduated from One Child last Friday. And I have to tell you why this is so emotional for me, because I've been to Honduras numerous times, and I'm aware of the gang activity, and I'm aware of Satan's pull on these kids. I'm aware that these kids who stuck in there and served Christ and came to our center and gave their lives to Jesus, I'm aware that they had a lot of friends that went the other way and tried to pull them into that. But these 128 kids are 128 young people that Satan didn't get. He didn't get those kids. And it's kids like this that are going to make a difference in Honduras. It's kids like this. Casta, that I just told you about from La Ceiba, is one in that group. And it's kids like this that are going to make the difference in La Ceiba, Honduras. God really can take something that's broken and make something beautiful from it. He really can. He's done that in our lives. He takes stuff that's ugly, stuff that's bad, stuff, and he turns it into something beautiful. These kids need someone to give them a chance. They need someone that will break the effects of generational poverty and generational darkness. And I'm telling you, generational darkness is huge in Honduras. There are areas that there's one area I took a group of ladies to. We had four armed guards around us in that area. You could sense and feel the darkness. They need somebody to come in and give them the light of Jesus and break that darkness. They need someone that will come alongside of them and enable us, one child, to minister to them. I hope you understand, we can't do what we do, 40,000 kids in 14 countries, without people coming alongside of us. It's impossible. That's why we invite churches like Harvest and pastors like Pastor Perry and church families like you to come alongside of us and say, I want to help one of those kids. I want to help them. $39 a month allows us to put the child in our program, in our ministry, so that we can minister all those things that you saw. $39 a month. One lady came to me last weekend at a conference, and she said, have you ever divided that out by day? And I said, well, no, not really. She turned around and got her calculator, and she said, you know, that's $1.38 a day. That's less than a bottle of water from the gas station, isn't it? $1.38 a day. You're talking changing a life, changing a life. I want you to hear me very clearly right now. I don't want any money you put into Harvest Church. I don't want your missions money. I didn't come today to take missions money. I didn't come today to take your tithe money. I believe you give according to God's word, and it starts here. So I don't want any of that money that you put into the church. Dave and I have lived our lives on the fact you can't outgive Jesus, but we do it in the right way. I want you to do it. I want you to be honored, and I want God to bless you for your giving. So everybody understand that? You get that? It's important to me. However, that's a huge however, isn't it? On behalf of these precious kids, I will take your Starbucks money, your pizza money, your Wendy's money, your McDonald's money, your Chick-fil-A money, Pastor Perry. Pastor Perry told me between the first and second service, he didn't think I should mention Chick-fil-A, but seriously, you can make a difference in a life. The ushers are going to come and help me real quickly. Matthew 25:40 says, whatever you do for the least of these, you have done it for me. Me, of course, is Jesus. One more verse in Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. You're lending to Jesus. And when you lend, you get paid back, right? And that's his word. That's his promise. I challenge you today to change a life. Change a life. The ushers are going to turn and just walk down the aisle slowly. And if you want to just raise your hand, say, Candy, I want to help change one of those lives. We actually have a lot of young kids because we enrolled them for this service. So I need your help if you are able and have faith enough to change the life of a child. We're going to let the ushers pass those out. They have boys and girls, by the way. If you prefer one over the other, just tell them, and they will give you a boy or a girl. If you have kids in kids' church, it's fun to bring the children and let them choose a child, so you might do that as well. I'm going to continue as they continue to pass out, and let me say thank you to Harvest Family today for allowing us to minister to these kids in La Ceiba, Honduras. There's a form in the middle. I need you to fill that out, please. Fill that out. It's important you tear that out. Bring it to me at the table. Dave and I will be there to answer any questions. But I need the form. This is not just free material for you to take home, okay? This represents a child. And if you take it away from the building, we have to wait 6 weeks before we can reprint this because we don't want to take a chance on getting two sponsors. So it's important that you tear that out. Leave it with me, okay? Come to the table. We will be there. In fact, it is so important. If you take that away, you've kidnapped one of my kids. No kidnapping, okay? So Pastor Perry told me he has undercover agents at the door with tasers in hand if you try to kidnap a child today. He's pretty serious about this, folks, so I don't think I would try that. Hey, guys, thank you. Thank you. If you are watching online today, there's a website that's going to come up on the screen if you happen to be watching online. There's a very limited number of children there at that website. And so I challenge the people here not to go to the website and take those away from the people at home. I think they're going to put it up, so hopefully. If not, Pastor Perry, maybe you have your card and you can mention it, because I don't have that. There it is, onechild.org/get involved/go harvest. And there are about 10 kids there, and we will repopulate that if we need to. God bless you, folks. God bless you. Will you do me one favor? Will all of you pray for La Ceiba, Honduras? This church is going to have a real presence in that difficult community. Will you pray for us as we reach out to those kids? Will you pray for those kids that they don't fall by the wayside as they are tempted by the gangs and the drug trafficking? Will you pray especially? Satan doesn't get his hand on those young girls to be sexually abused. Really, will you pray with us? Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Candy, and thank you, David. Would you give Candy and David a God bless you this morning?